Blog Talk Radio.
Tomorrow we win, if we follow the trends and keep count of the dollars we spend. I want a mahogany bin, I want lottery in, I want property friends, plus my hobby is skins. If I get sloppy and sin, then my prophecy ends. But the guard to begin, watching my odyssey spin, in a place where war be, based on a true story. Territory was made for me to pursue glory. Blast alone, mass in the zones have to be sown, every capacity blown, I'm internationally known. Yo, so all hail the honorable, microphone phenomenal, persona is invulnerable, trust me son, I continue like a sovereign, bringing you the drama to allow you that the chronicle was just gun.
The saga begins, rockin', set it all.
Yep, yo.
The saga begins,
still play a rhyme after the next one.
The saga begins, rockin', set it all.
Yep, yo.
The saga begins,
my never-ending epic got the world spinning hectic. I quickly spread it till the whole city's infected. Suspense that I supply, intensify. Then commences my daily events. So why you get involved in it? Paragraphologist, narrating novelist, marketist, sound marvelous. I'm the star in this, which means the author's authentic. Most definite, every episode's an epidemic. So when you research, check it. Here go the evidence. They represent with lyrical negligence for presidents. My signs existed without the fixing. Every inscription is a special edition. So all hail the honorable, microphone phenomenal, persona is invulnerable. Trust me, son, I continue like a sovereign Jew, bringing you the drama to allow you that the chronicle was just begun.
The saga begins,
rock and
set it all.
Yep, yo.
The saga begins,
still play a rhyme after the next one.
The saga begins.
Rock and set it all.
The saga begins.
The legacy lives, let them see what the pedigree is. Mega thesis, blessing these kids with extra features. The depths are deepest, the deeper sea is. Telepathy increases, melody to speakers. Telekinesis, ideas appear as clearest. Pictures and movie theaters, lyrics you hear is devastating the way your ear is. So stay tuned for sequels, part twos and more. So soon you and your people to bug rush the store. The names have changed, the game remain the same. I once came to reign on his claim to fame. No stopping this, I'm dropping this with hip hop. And when the topic is topicless, then I'm writing the apocalypse. So all hail the honorable, microphone phenomenal, persona is invulnerable. Trust me, son, I continue like a saga do, bringing you the drama to allow you that the chronicle is just gun.
The saga begins,
rock and set it all.
Yep, yo. The saga begins,
still play a rhyme after the next one.
The saga begins.
Rock him, set it all.
Yo, the saga begins.
You know that I'm the solo with.
Rock him, set it all.
Rock him,
reset it all.
Rock him,
set it all.
And you know that I'm the solo with.
Rock him, set it all.
Rock him,
set it all.
Rock him,
set it all.
And you know that I'm the solo with.
Rock him.
Yeah, check it. Well, if you living in the world today, you be hearing the slang of the Wu-Tang say. Niggas that front, we don't have them, so we blast them. All right, well, okay. Well, if you like the way you sound, then clap, man. And if the woman love it too, then raise your hand. But only raise your hand if you're sure.
Punk niggas shatter like a glass jaw. Break. My rhyme gross weight, vehicle combination was too heavy for the Chevys. It's chased out the station. Double
silver ledge was the guillotine that beheaded and gassed up. Fucking with some regular unleaded shit. Heads roll on hillsides behind ropes that bind in. X marks the spot on the scope. Heavily armed military is necessary, it's a gamble. MCs meant they bested every powerful, terrible release might harm. If camping with, set off and strike like pipe bombs. Flashbacks to the duel of the Iron Mike. Look out for these fatal flying spikes of massive sleep holes. Put strangles on commercial angles. Microphone cords tangled from being star spangled. Now who could ever say they heard of this? My motherfucking style is mad murderous. Well, if you like the way it sound, then clap, man. Clap, man. Clap, man.
Message.
Yo, I don't know where to start, dog, but check it out. Music is my total existence, dog, straight up. Everything in my life revolves around music. It's like, can't get a relationship because I'm still with my first love, which is music. You know what I'm saying? For real. The reason I'm here, J. Dilla, just like that. Peace.
End of message. Resaved. Next message.
Yeah, it started with rhythms I heard listening to the wall. The bouncing of basketballs on playgrounds and all. The empty bottles is hollow, wind blowing inside them. The flow and the rhyming got my alignment to a science. Mixing with my mom's in the kitchen, them spoons rattling. Pots and pan, faucet water pouring, tunes managing to come from all the fussing and rambling. What I noticed was pure music untampered with by things showbiz does. Older thugs show the stuff, like how to hold the plugs. Juice from the streetlight, it almost could have blowed us up. Crates of records, great sessions had had the whole hood jamming. Large speakers fresh made, smell the wood sanding. Father did his blues smooth, legendary Jasmine. Saw his wife secondary to his true passion. Started with my crew rapping New Jackson 82. Never look back now, look what it changed me to. Music.
We gotta believe the future. We gotta believe the past. We gotta believe in more than all that we have. We gotta believe each other. We gotta open up our minds. Cause music is for life.
Next message.
What's the difference between me and you? I'm a real connoisseur of this rap shit. I really do it. My whole life, man, is really music. Through my baseline, I'm living through it. Another expression of life I couldn't live without. I like my music straight, pure, not watered down. Damn, it felt good to fulfill the dreams of getting out the hood. Kept me busy, gave me a chance to stop selling drugs. Spending time in the basement kept me from acting up. Zoning out, wishing Dre could check it out. I'm here now. I can't believe it, proof in the pudding. Everything happened for a reason. Through this music, I'm able to feed the family. When I'm stressed out, it's my sanity. It's a lifestyle, all on the street and in Hollywood. Music in my DNA, it's my livelihood. Music.
We gotta believe the children. We gotta believe in hope. We gotta believe in more than know that we know. So we gotta believe each other. We gotta open up our minds. Cause music is for life.
Next message.
Keep the music alive. The good and the strong survive. I close my eyes and imagine I was Jackson 5. Randy or Michael going through life cycle. Music allowed me to let life go. So vital to a youngster coming up amongst street hustlers. The big beat to touch us in such a special place. Giving the ghetto a taste of what freedom is like. I reached the point in my life where I was needing the mic. No second guessing, self-expression and lessons learned. Aggression became sessions where sessions burn. Put my soul into it, now my feet is firm. In a game where a name is hard to earn. And hot cats' careers get scarred and burned through the years. Mine took a godly turn. This is the story of my life here trapped in a verse. No matter money or the movies, music is first, yeah.
For press use only, Baby Grand Records.
We gotta believe the future. We gotta believe the past. We gotta believe in more than know that we have. So we gotta believe each other. Gotta open up the mind. Cause music is for life. So we gotta believe the children. We gotta believe in hope. So we gotta believe in more than all we know. So we gotta believe each other. We gotta open up our minds. Cause music is for life.
Check, what up? You know what it says? It's your boy Busta Bust Down, Flip Mode Squad. All right? Now, you know, there's a serious thing behind the music that we're doing. It's like music, you know, for me, man, it means everything, family. You know, when we going through our little personal stripes in life, you know what I'm saying? We get up in that studio, close that door, be locking ourselves in that little four-wall space, man. Get up in the vocal booth and become whoever you want to be. Express whatever you want to feel. You know what I mean? When you're going through your most frustrating time in life, you know what I'm saying? You can realize that when you can't find nobody else to speak to, you can speak through the music. Help other people feel your pain, your struggle, your passion, you know, what you live and die for, your values in life. You know what I mean? Music, man, it's the voice of every being in the universe, the platform provided for us to communicate. When all else fails, it's what allows us to be able to connect with touching the heart and the soul of the street.
Next message.
Yeah, I'm a Roseline legend, nigga. I'm a felony, nigga. Keep rolling motherfuckers in, my nigga. Like the bait, they hopping on it. When the bait go.
Well, I don't exactly want it to end like that because, like I said, that one there was kind of for Stewart. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to make sure we kept it live. Your boy, Flossy Jeezy at Rawhide, here at 646-595-3402. By the way, I failed to mention that your boy, Flossy Jeezy, is all over the web. If you ever want to follow the progress of what's going on, whether it's my music or whatever else it is, you can find me on MySpace still, if it's still live over there, Reverb Nation. You know what I'm saying? Flossy G Worldwide Network.net, Flossy G Worldwide Network on Facebook, Flossy G Worldwide, Facebook page for the artist page are also on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, you know what I'm saying? SoundCloud, SoundClick, MixCloud, and last but not least, Spreaker, a very useful apparatus for us getting it out there and getting it in. Rawhide, drop your disclaimer real quick, and then we're going to jump right on in here with both feet.
Oh, yeah. And, man, you definitely got to play a cut later.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to get in one of them Flossy G's versions. I don't know if y'all know this, but this man comes up with a brand new song every single week. A new composition, a new instrumental every single week. And it's a brand new one. So if you want to talk about diversity and music and just, oh, my goodness, creativity, there you go. You know what I mean?
Appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, shouts out to the squad, you know what I'm saying, the homie Cool Cav, the homie Taj. Those are the producers down at Salmon Street Studios. You know, shouts out to Rocket One, you know what I mean, awesome MC, you know, and he's part of Salmon Street, you know what I'm saying, he is Salmon Street. He puts a lot of stuff together. And the homie Alabaster Jenkins.
Yes.
You know, he's an artist that we got right now, man. I'll talk about him a little bit. Y'all heard him even. And he's coming out with these cuts right now that are just meant to make you cry. He's a really deep dude. And it's just the craziest music that you've ever heard. And you got to love it. Yeah, that's what we do, man. That's what we do. Shout out to the homie Ahala. We came out. We got a cut coming out at the end of this week, and it's 2015. It's a PSA. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
We do a PSA every year, every other year, whenever the hell we want to, you know, and get it done. So that's what's going on with me.
That's a beautiful thing. So, and like I said before, that's my man, Rawhide. I'm telling you, ever need anything mastered or put together or you know what I'm saying, making the stuff come out sounding like it's supposed to be does, that's the man with the program. So as we use this diving board, we're going to jump all the way off into what's going down with things that's going on around the country. First of all, and a very good start, is this thing with what's going on in New York City. With Bill de Blasio and the police force.
Hold on, just a
minute. There we go. Yeah, a little bit of technical difficulty. I want to make sure that we don't get cut off from the audience here and talking to you folks. Okay, we're good. Okay, we got this thing going on with Bill de Blasio and the police department back there, and it seems that the police department feels that Mr. de Blasio is should be blamed for the problems and the current set of tensions that are going on back in New York City. And I say that that's categorically false. I mean, you're going to try to blame a man for your actions and the things that you as policemen have done that have from stop and frisk right down to, you know, the current situation with Eric Garner and everything else. Now, of course, I'm going to preface all this that I'm about to say with, you know, RIP to the officers who were innocent, two minority fellas who were innocent. They got caught up in this fracas of things that go on. But a lot of this stuff was fostered by the behavior of the NYPD. You know what I'm saying? Mr. de Blasio's position, I mean, you got officers turning their backs to him at you know, these funerals and stuff where he's trying to give shout-outs to them and you know, and wish the families well and everything. And officers are taking that time, which, as their own police commissioner, heard an interesting thing yesterday on Fox News, where an individual was saying that, you know what I'm saying, that how the commissioner should be the one in charge of the police and the mayor should stay out of it. Well, it's your own police commissioner that is saying, you know, that you guys need to do things a little bit better. And don't use, you know, celebrations for your own a celebration of someone's life, these police officers, for your own political ends and trying to make statements at funerals. That's not, you know, what it's really all about so far as, you know, trying to celebrate these guys' lives. I mean, they lost their lives, and it's all due to this fracas that's going on. I'm quite sure Rawhide will have some other opinions on this thing. But Bill Bratton is the police commissioner, and even he told you not to, you know, do this protest during these officers' funerals, and you did it anyway. You know, we have the choking incidents, we have the stop and frisk, and we have a community back there in the boroughs, predominantly where the brown people are at, because you're trying to blame the black-on-black crime for the fact that you're over there. You're police officers, and you're officers of the law. So wherever you're called to do your duties, you need to be doing that. This whole thing with de Blasio started out because he's married to an African-American woman. His son's African-American, and although he is African-American, he is not, he doesn't have a stencil on his forehead that says, "I am the son of the mayor." So as a concerned father, just like I am with three sons, you know, in their 20s, I'm concerned so far as their safety with whatever police department, whatever city is in America, because the police have not always shown themselves to be the most honest of people. I mean, you can get folks out, not to get away from the subject, but you can get officers out in Los Angeles, California, unscrewing their antennas when they're going into these black areas of town so that their actions don't pick up on the cameras the way that they're supposed to. So a lot of this stuff that's going on, as an African-American father, I can understand Mayor de Blasio's concern that his son could be the victim of something because, like I said, no one knows, and it has been a pretty bad situation. Understandably, the cops may be upset, but, you know, don't blame the mayor for things that are your own making and things that you have done that have fostered this situation. So, I mean, you know, that's just my personal feeling on that. I don't believe that, you know, Mayor de Blasio is actually the one to be blaming, because Mayor de Blasio is not the one out there arresting anybody. Okay, and a whole lot of this saber rattling seems to be coming from, you know, the union that the police belong to, so far as how to deal with the mayor. You got people that are supposed to be professionals on ESPN that this Bo Deal individual that I was watching yesterday was sitting there calling the mayor garbage, calling him Big Bird. You know, he's supposed to be a professional news person. But, you know, Fox has always shown themselves to be kind of suspect anyway when it comes down to covering news. But, you know, this whole disrespectful deal in which they're doing this, the mayor himself spoke on this situation. Said Mayor Bill de Blasio and his administration threatened to be overwhelmed by a rift with the rank and file of the New York Police Department officers. And the particular Monday that they did this, he condemned the thousands of cops who turned their back on him during the funerals of these slain officers. And in his public remarks, de Blasio said the cops' searing rebuke was hurtful to the families of the two that were killed in the ambush last month. So he's saying the same thing basically that I said. You have to put yourself and your personal feelings of your job kind of on hold and kind of at rest for a moment, so that you can get be in the right frame of mind to be there what you're there for, and that's to celebrate the lives of the officers who lost their lives, not to do your own kind of personal, you know what I mean, vendetta work. You know what I'm saying? He goes on to say that these individuals who took certain actions across the last couple of weeks, they were disrespectful to the families involved. That's the bottom line, de Blasio said at a news conference. You know, it was held at police headquarters, and I can't understand anyone that would do such a thing. And so, like I said, Mr. de Blasio is having to deal with a whole lot of, you know, stuff that's going on, you know, so far as being a family man, so far as being a person who, you know, basically you know, has to deal with a lot of stuff. So what I'm attempting to do here as we talk, I'm trying to bring up, you know, the statement about his, you know, his son and the police, and you know, the thing that evidently inspired these cops to feel like, you know, it's crazy, you know, for whatever's going on. And so I was trying to get that ran up, but the whole thing is that, you know, here it is. Bill de Blasio, it says here on Google, it said, Bill de Blasio explains why his son needs to be careful around cops. It says here, facing heat from the police union, the New York City mayor, Bill de Blasio, stood by his comments earlier in the week that he made the statements that his biracial son needs to take special precautions around cops. De Blasio explained that after a non-indictment of Eric Garner and his wife, and he literally trained his son Dante how to handle encounters with police, an experience shared by African American families around the country. And the police union head of the NYPD said that De Blasio threw the cops under the bus. Well, the bottom line is that the reality of the situation is that Bill De Blasio, who's Italian, is married to an African-American woman, and they have an African-American son. And as we've seen videos all over the country, from Rodney King to Ferguson, from the shooting in the back of a young man down in Los Angeles, right up to the victim of a recent incident in which, you know, he was claiming he couldn't breathe, and he died because, and the policeman told him that, you know, if you can talk, you can breathe. And then he ends up dying an hour later after he gets to the hospital. There's a reason why these events have continued to happen and continue to permeate themselves the way that they have. And the whole thing is that we have to look at is that, yes, it's a bad situation. Yes, it's a horrible thing, and there's an understanding that cops have a lot to deal with. But unfortunately, the actions of not all, but a few of the cops that are out there have played themselves in such a way in which, you know, these feelings and emotions that people are feeling are warranted. And also, you know, you got this whole, you know, mix of things that's going on with, you know, the current atmosphere in New York and the feelings that people have. It's just unfortunate that, you know, that things have had to go this way, and that, you know, things have been, you know, going down the way that they have. And unfortunately, you know, I got a question coming up here in a little bit. You know, when we return, and the question will be, how long will the NYPD and other cities, you know, officers face the possibility of death for the backlash from their citizens for their aggressive actions? And, you know, why is it so hard for the communities and the police to come together to get an understanding on how to deal with things? They tried that here in Portland, and violence has reduced greatly. So when we get back, we're going to discuss that. And like I said before, hopefully we can gain some understanding. Again, this is Flossie Jeezy featuring Rawhide, who stepped out for a moment. You know what I'm saying? This is 646-595-3402, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Ooh, so fine, so fine, though my mind. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Another classic from Howard Johnson, a.k.a. Hojo, doing it again with So Fine. And you're back with Flossie ZZ and Rawhide, you know what I'm saying, a.k.a. the MC, the man with the plan, the miracle but never a myth, Mike C, and filling in for here for me and representing Rawhide Pro Studios, Salmon Street, Portland, Oregon. But when that intermission, when we left out, when you had to handle that emergency, I was discussing NYPD's deal with Bill de Blasio and the fact that they're turning their backs on him, which means turning back on the families that are at those funerals and the city itself, as well as their mayor. And although they have been confrontating about, you know, let the police commissioner run the police, he has said the same thing. So he is actually in concert with these guys so far as the mayor, so far as not taking out your particular aggressions on the situation in dealing with New York's finest. So there you go. And so what are your thoughts on that right now? What's going on with the mayor, being that he has an African American son and an African American wife, and he is showing concerns? I'll read it briefly for you, and you can tell me how you feel. It says here that, okay, we know what's going on. Bill de Blasio stood by his comments earlier in the week that he made the comments, which would have been the week of. Oh, and of course, it's not showing here. It's January 7th today. It's not showing it. He said, in short, that he stood by his comments that his biracial son needs to take special precautions around cops. He said, de Blasio explained after the non-indictment of Eric Garner that he and his wife had literally had to train their son Dante how to handle encounters with police, and that their experience shared by the parents and other African-American children around the country, you know, the head of the policeman's union, de Blasio, said that he threw him under the bus, and that's where all the noise is coming from the NYPD. It's actually from the policeman's union leader.
Hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's true. I don't know why you would get upset with somebody just telling you the truth. I don't know if they think that it's just being over dramatized or something like that. You know what I mean? But you know, it's real. you have to tell your kids something different. You know, and everybody knows that. That's nothing new. That's why this makes it so even more horrible with all the things that are going on now with the shootings and all that. Because it's like you have to stay in line, and you're taught to stay in line. And if you don't stay in line, well, this is what can happen to you, man.
Very true statement. Very true statement. I don't see why they figured and feel the need to do that at a funeral, because, you know, according to what de Blasio later on said, you know, in the last week or so, as he said that, you know, those individuals who took certain actions in the last 2 weeks, they disrespected the families that were involved. And that's the bottom line. You know what I'm saying? He said he can't understand why anyone would do such a thing. And even the police commissioner, Bill Bratton, said, hey, look, don't do that. This is a funeral. Let's honor these guys in the right way, and let's get it done in the right way, because in reality, when like I said, part of Journalism 101 says that you have to state both sides of an issue. Those minority cops, funny that it was minorities that happened to when the shootings went down, but those guys were basically in the line of duty, and they were doing extra overtime work. And I'm quite sure that, you know, some of the concerns, even from the African-American cops, say that there are polarizing people within the NYPD that make them feel like they even have to even fear for their lives. So just like anything else, it's one of those kind of deals where we have to be upfront and honest about things as they go down. And we can't get offended when the truth hits you in the rump. My question now, and this is a deep one, you know, how long will the NYPD and other cities face, you know, the possibility of death or backlash from their citizens for their aggressive actions? And you and I talked about this over the phone last night. How long much longer do you think that the people can actually, you know, this, you know, without going off? And do you think that these attacks are now that are now on police will end anytime soon? What are your thoughts on that?
It's a huge, huge mess, because you don't even know what's real anymore. You know, you have people that are just staging things to create this the chaos of everything that's going on with the system. Just and the media is loving it and eating it up. You know, it's giving them something to talk about, and it is what it is so much, man, that like we were trying to do earlier, we're like, you know what, let's kick off the show in a positive light, you know what I mean? And we were really scarce and it's real famine out there, you know what I mean? 2015, famine, that's the song that we're working on for the new year, the PSA.
Y'all can't wait to hear that one. I know you guys got it real as usual.
Man.
Yeah.
Man. So, it's not getting any better. I was talking with some friends last night, you know, the homie James Sr., you know, the homie Tosh, actually. And, he called in last time. Man, there's a lot of evil in this world, you know, there's a lot of evil. And we're getting even shorter and shorter on actual good in this world. You know, it's coming to a really just sick point. You know, and it's not the first time in human civilization that this has happened. So, you know, people shouldn't be so shocked. And that'll bring us into another topic that we'll talk about later. You know what I mean, with all the state benefits and things like that. But go ahead, man.
Well, why don't we do that? Because, you know, I'm looking at what I had up here, and I had this thing where, you know, I was just talking about the, you know what I'm saying, the situation. First of all, before I get into that, to answer the tail end of what you were saying, I think it's going to go on for a while. I don't think that people are going to stop, you know, trying to attack cops. There's always copycats. You know, there's people over here in this country. They, you know, for the longest of time, they wanted to be like Mike. Where over in the Arab world, a lot of cats over there wanted to be like Bin Laden. I guess the, and that's no insult to Muslims. That's no insult to Muslims whatsoever, because You know, I mean, being a Muslim myself, I know what it is, and I know how things are done, and what we're told and not told is a thin line. So I don't, I'm not being disrespectful in any kind of way, shape, or form on that. So far as this backlash, until these cops actually start to get it, and when I say when they start to get it, I'm talking nationwide. Until you understand that you can't take the antennas off of your car like you did in Los Angeles, until you understand that you can get away with God knows what accident, because it's a known fact when you take those antennas off the police cars, as I studied, you can't use the video cameras that show what you do. Your actions are being watched. You are under a microscope. Whether you want to face that or not, you are under a microscope. And your citizens are getting tired of this free willy on their lives. And this, you know, this just open season, as it were, on minorities and the populations that are out there. And I'm going to keep it short without being insulting. You need to stop and think and focus and ask yourself, honestly, is the next move that I'm about to make with this person's life a move that I should make? You have other apparatuses out there. You have beanbag guns. You have tasers. You have, you know, mace. Let's not go to the extreme first and then have the rest of us asking questions later. And that's my rant for the day. Now we're going to get into what Rawhide was just talking about, because it's a very, very, very important thing, and a very important thing to think about. First, the first half of it is my half, which is, you know, Fox News and the truth of lies about Obamacare and the insurance benefit. And then Rawhide is going to elaborate on the state government and the benefits, phones, and welfare. And the question he's asking today is, are we becoming too dependent on these services? Is it truly making us lazy, and are we truly going too far on not trying to seek employment, on not trying to really work through things?
More on, and it's more on, is this being designed to, is it designed to keep us lazy? And you know, the saying that as a question is ironic. You know what I mean? Because you hear it.
Yeah.
It's in the statement itself.
I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Okay, so just like anything else, it's one of these type of things where, you know, it's worth looking into. My half of it again was, I sat yesterday. I was having a car service at a local Cadillac dealership, and I sat for about 2.5 hours, and I heard some of the worst diatribe from a purported news station or news organization that I've ever heard. And I think I understand now why the regular media outlets don't really view Fox News as a renewed form of news source, because they only see things in a slanted deal, one way and sideways, and you get a lot of half and half views. So in order to, I've been disciplining myself to kind of stay on topic, so I'm going to stay on topic. And the only thing that I have to talk about today is Obamacare, better known as the Affordable Care Act, but they gave it the name Obamacare as a stigmatism. And Obama's retort was, well, he's glad that they did it because he's glad that he was able to create something for the people. And here again, Rawhide and I work together, but a lot of our views, some he may have different opinions of the views that I have, but he has his views and I have mine, and part of the thing of being a winning team is to be able to respect each other's views. So I don't know what he's going to say right off the bat because we don't practice this stuff. We come from the heart and then the head, because they both go hand in hand, so we can stay under control with things. But this thing with the Obamacare, if you can compare the analogy of a can of coffee that several years ago was 16 to 20 ounces, and it costs $3.99 to $4. And within a year's time of the news of the coffee exports and everything going weird down in South America, the coffee companies decided to take that same 12 to 20-ounce can of coffee and reduce it down to 8 ounces. But the thing was is that in lieu of doing that, they raised the price of coffee to where you were still paying the same thing that you were paying when the commodities were in a larger size, kind of like pork bellies. You never really know what you're going to get until you get to the end of the hog's ass. But long story short, you ended up with a situation in which, with Obamacare, we're being told that, oh, Obamacare is raising, the wages. Oh, Obamacare is driving insurance costs up. Oh, Obamacare is doing this, that, and the third. And I'm hearing all of the Fox perspective on it. And then they go to this thing about Harvard University and how now all the people, which is wishful thinking, they hope all the Harvard alumnus that Obama went to school with, people that backed him during the 2008 and 2012 elections, will somehow have an epiphany and go against his Health Care Act. Well, the long story short, so that I don't drag it out, is that being a former postal worker, a retired postal worker, I had the privy to have health insurance that every year, climbed on an average, and this was like 10, 12 years ago, climbed on the average to $12 to $16 per month per plan. So if you were to sketch that across, that's like an extra $300. Let's round up to $300 extra a year that you were paying for benefits. Yet each year, gradually after my first 3 years in the Postal Service, these same apparatuses were offering less and less and less services and continuing to go up on health costs. And my opinion is that the only reason why the healthcare thing numbers went up because of Obama's healthcare plan is because these companies knew that Obama was going to make things more affordable for citizens getting healthcare. And the fact that they knew that it was going to happen, they immediately went on what was a psychological or metaphorical land grab and start jacking up the price on all the insurance. And then, of course, the people, the lobbyists from the right that wanted you to get to believe that somehow it was because of Obamacare, because you know all these things that were wrong. Let's keep things in mind. Not only did Congress actually pass that thing through, but the Supreme Court backed Obama up. And if this program was so bad, you don't elect a person back-to-back times because they're a bad administrator or a bad president. And this man got voted in twice, regardless of what the same party now, six years later, all of a sudden, well, we want to work now. We want to do things. We want to get things done. But you spent the first 6 years saying no. My secondary rant for the day is, if you are going to sit up and you're going to complain about Obamacare, and you want to trash it, you want to get rid of it, and you want to strip Rob, and basically, I don't want to use the R word, and we all know what it is, but basically take something from somebody, right? And but you don't have no replacement. Mm-hmm. Shut up, because you don't have anything to replace it with. You don't just want to rob people who, for the first time, can walk into an emergency room and have health care, because the general complaint is that the reason why healthcare companies, the ones that before Obamacare was there, who, by the way, still to this day raise premiums on an average to 8 to 10% yearly. As people's wages go up, they raise the price of the health insurance to go along with it. The only reason that it went up with Obamacare is because they knew it was going to be cheaper, so they were getting as much money as they could. By the way, the same pundits that were making all the noise about Obamacare made sure that when it was approved that they were able to get the benefits of, pre-existing conditions, for example, put into their health care plans, but yet they sit in the background and bash it much the same way that they said that the stimulus wouldn't work, but they were able to benefit off of that as well. So back to the original topic, if you're going to tell a story, and Journalism 101 teaches us that if you're going to tell a story, you have to tell it from both sides. You can't just come on TV and start yelling off a bunch of numbers. By the way, the incident that Lou Dobbs was talking about yesterday on Fox with the moderator that was on there was the fact that the Harvard University, who has billions of dollars in endowments, who's not even affected by the average man, which is why all the rich folks out there send their kids to Harvard and Yale and some of these other schools, they have a subsisting thing. And even if they had to pay for Obamacare, I'm sure that the $10 that Lou Dobbs was ranting and raving over, but yet blowing it out of proportion, was all about. The bottom line is that $12 versus $26 under regular plans, somehow I don't see where all the fodder is coming from. I think there's, like George Foreman said, most of the time when you're looking for fire and there's a lot of smoke, 9 times out of 10, you're just going to see more smoke. All right.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, it's all the game, man, and it's all about who can get the gain off of what this new system that they're trying to build. You know, one of the facts that you brought up was, you know, it keeps going back and forth as they start changing these different regulations and stuff like that, where, oh, okay, well, yeah, now we need it. We want the Obamacare, you know what I mean? Because now it's going to, you know what I'm saying, put that line in your pocket. Yeah, and man, it's... I can't even wrap my head around that kind of stuff, because the more you dig deep into it, the more you realize that it's just a game. You know what I mean? It's a money game. You know, and that's, it has absolutely nothing to do with me.
A cruel con and a sick Christmas. I always use the term sick Christmas because we're looking for gifts, and the gifts that we receive are so negative. The gifts we receive are so disingenuous. The gifts that we receive, like I said before, is smoking mirrors. Like I said, if you have a complaint, a gripe, a bitch, or a moan, or a groan about the current system, that's your right. That's your First Amendment right, and I'm with you on that one. What I'm not with you on is disingenuous information where you're just telling one side. And you're not even. And for people who said no to everything, Even the things, and Obama's a smart man, even the programs and things that he came up with that were traditionally ideas on the right, okay, or the Republican Party, they sit here and they continue to, with these gaffes, making sport out of what Obama says and does, and said no to everything, but now that you're in charge, suddenly you want to do it. But for whatever reason, even though you've taken over Congress, you're still crying. Because you can't stop his power of executive orders from overriding what you do. So I guess the fun is not as much fun as you thought it was. So here's a re-gifting of the sick Christmas that you have given out. Next up, we're talking state government, benefits, phones, welfare, et cetera. Raw, how you were real deep on this one when I was talking to you last night as we were thinking of thought ideas for the show. Why don't you go ahead and elaborate on that a little bit? Points you were making were very poignant, and as well as, you know, very thought-provoking, the thoughts you had on that.
Man, last night one of my homies told me he had a government phone, and he said it like he meant to say government cheese or something. And I flipped out. I did not know that with state benefits, you can get a phone for free. And at first, my first thoughts with that was, hey, the homie with the cell phone business, if he helps cater to them, you know what I'm saying, that's large money. My second thought was, why the hell would you ever have to work again? Why the hell would you ever have to be dependent on yourself when you've got this it's a monster of a program out there that can take care of everything you need. And I understand that there are people out there that need it. And that's a whole different drawer, the same dresser, where, you know what I mean, the way that this government is being run right now and the stuff that we're going through is one of the reasons that most of the people are in poverty in the first place, you know. But I immediately answered the question right after I said it, and it's because when you do that, you don't have to worry about the people giving you anarchy for the state that, you know, your country is in.
But do you think this is a form of a sneaky form of reverse? If nothing else, psychological and social slavery, when you get us so dependent on all the services that you provide and show no limits on it.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. you know. But now, and with that said, scrolling down the page, I missed this the other day where the food stamp enrollment is expected to drop by 1 million next year, and that's just to the north of us, I believe, in Washington. Food stamp enrollment is expected to fall by 1 million next year thanks to harsher rules, according to the new report by liberal Washington, D.C. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities estimates that falling unemployment rates will cause states to lose an exemption they currently have for food stamps recipients, which is funny because that's exactly in line with the whole program itself. Once you get a job or you start making any type of actual money or loot, then the benefits go down, you know? So I guess it runs everything the same way.
Well, I think, you know, there's this thing that was on Dr. Dre's album, I believe it was The Chronic, where he said, actually it was Dogfather, Snoop's album Dogfather, where I guess it was DJ Easy that came in and said, can you say farewell to welfare?
Mm.
Well, I think under the new regime, new current focus group being the Republican Party, I'm thinking that that's going to be a very, very real possibility. I'm thinking a very, very real kind of thing that's going on, in which by large numbers, according to what they were planning before, Paul Ryan's bright ideas that are not so bright for the poor and the working class, that there's going to be a lot of benefits and a lot of things that are going to be cut off, not only from welfare recipients, but Social Security folks too. And what I find interesting about that, unless you sit in someone else's seat, you don't really know what it is that they're going through and what they're going to be experiencing. You got to understand, congressmen who give themselves raises twice a year at $35,000 on average a clip, and this is based on seniority, so imagine what a John Boehner or Mitch McConnell get on their raises every 6 months. And no one, you know, it's kind of hard to police someone when they are the police. It's a crazy thing to think about and look at, because these people are getting their palms greased at an alarming rate of speed, I would say 140-mile-an-hour zone, and the rest of us are out here still on Strugglesville wondering how we're going to make our next buck. You're talking about cutting off Social Security because Social Security, in reality, doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect you because, you know, you make so much money, you don't have to return depend on Social Security, but not everybody went to college. Not everybody did things. You know, I had an interesting analysis last night I was going over with you, in which I was stating that, to me, it's funny not only how this goes down and everything, but how, you know, you got people, who went to college, who got money, who got, you know, everything that you can think of, you know, kind of handed to them and everything, and the people that are the have-nots are just kind of up in the air and out there and don't know, you know, which way, you know, their lives are going to turn or where they're going to get, you know, their next buck from. And you can so easily just close the door on these people, knowing that you're not sitting in the same shoes that they're sitting in, is really repugnant and repulsive. But I have some other things, but I got distracted here on the computer that I was going to put forth, but I'm sure in the course of doing business, you know, I will think of them later on. But it's just a whole lot of stuff that's going on out here that just kind of amazes me, that continues to go on, and yet we sit up here and we see all this stuff happening, and we can't seem to get a grip on it because, you know, as they say, it's a slippery slope, and the more you try, if you don't have your shoes on, your shoes laced up tight.
You mean your shit galoshes?
Your shit galoshes.
Man.
You're gonna end up with a whole lot of problems. So, you know, it's a lot for us to look at here, and so far as analyzing things. We're doing a good job of, you know, staying on point and getting all of our topics in, because we're going through them and we're staying on topic. Like I said, that's something through watching other show formats and doing things that I'm trying to practice on, is staying on point so far as things go. But, you know, Our next topic when we come back from break is going to be, you know, if it's too hot, get out of the kitchen. And what I'm saying that for is we have a superintendent of schools in Arizona that of all the things this individual could be thinking about, his focus is on ending KRS-One being taught in the schools or any form of, they have already cut out, even though the population with Arizona being on the border of Mexico is heavily populated with Mexicans, they've even cut out certain history about them. And evidently they see KRS-One as a bad influence when we have to hear about the first 15 presidents before Lincoln who owned slaves being somehow the fathers of our nation. And once again, that's a sick Christmas to me. But we'll get into that when we get back. Right now, speaking of KRS-One, you know, they tell you that if you're not careful, love will get you.
You know, that's why, man, I be telling you all the time, man, you know, love, that word love is a very serious thing. And if you don't watch out, I tell you that. Because a lot of people out here, they say, I love my car, or I love my chain, or I'm just in love with that girl over there. So for all the people out there that fall in love with material items, we're going to bump the beat a little something like this. Junior high with a B-plus grade. At the end of the day, I don't hit the arcade. I walk from school to my mom's apartment. I gotta tell the suckers every day, don't start it. Cause where I'm at, if you're soft, you're lost. To stay on course means to roll with force. A boy named Rob is chilling in a bench in front of my building with the rest of his friends. I give him a pound, oh, I mean, I shake his hand. He's a neighborhood drug dealer, my man. I go upstairs and hug my mother, kiss my sister and punch my brother. I sit down on my bed to watch some TV. Do my ears deceive me? Nope, that's the fourth time this week. Another fast brother shot dead in the street. The very next day while I'm off the class, my mom go to work cold busting her ass. My sister's cute but she got no gear. I got three pairs of pants with my brother I share. Severe in school, see I'm made a fool. With one and a half pair of pants you ain't cool. But there's no dollars for nothing else. I got beans, rice, and bread on my shelf. Every day I see my mother struggling. Now it's time, I've got to do something. I look for work, I get dissed like a jerk. I do odd jobs and come home like a slob. So here comes Rob, his goal is shimmery. He gives me 200 for a quick delivery. I do it once, I do it twice. Now there's steak with the beans and rice. My mother's nervous, but she knows the deal. My sister's gear now has sex appeal. My brother's my partner, and we're getting paper. 3 months later, we run our own caper. My family's happy, everything is new. Now tell me, what the fuck am I supposed to do? That's why. You fall in love with your chain. You fall in love with your car. Love is gonna sneak right up and snuff you from behind. So I want you to check the story out as we go down the line.
Let us move on.
Money's flowing, everything is fine. Got myself a Uzi and my brother a 9. Business is booming, everything is cool. I pull about a G a week, fuck school. A year goes by and I begin to grow. Not in hype, but juicy cash flow. I kick up my feet and begin to watch TV. Cause now I got other people working for me. I got a 55-inch television, you know. And every once in a while I hear just say no. Or the other commercial I love is when they say this is your brain on drugs. I pick up my remote control and just turn. Cause with that bullshit I'm not concerned. See me and my brother jump in the BM. Driving around our territory again. I stop at the light like a superstar. And automatic weapons go straight my car. I hit the accelerator scared as shit. And drove one block to find my brother was hit. He wasn't dead, but the blood was pouring. And all I could think about was warring. Later I found that it was Rob and his crew. Now tell me, what the fuck am I supposed to do? You know, that's why.
Love's gonna get you.
I could think about with my brother. Rob jumped up and began to run, busting shots, hoping to hit someone. So I just stopped and let off 3 shots. 2 hit him and 1 hit a cop. I threw the gun down and began to shout, "Come on, I got him, it's time to break out." But as we ran, there were the boys in blue, pointing their guns at my 4-man crew. They shot down 1, they shot down 2. Now tell me what the fuck am I supposed to do? That word love is real soft, but when you use it in your vocabulary like you're addicted to it, it sneaks right up and takes you right out, 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 out. So, for future reference, remember, it's alright to like or want a material item, but when you fall in love with it and you start scheming and carrying on for it, just remember, it's gonna get you.
Yeah, yeah, your boy Flossy Jeezy's back. 646-595-3402. And as we move right along and into things, next up we're going to talk about, you know, the superintendent of schools in Arizona that wants to ban basically every, you know, art form or every, you know, text that talks of, you know, the things from the African-American or Hispanic or any other existence. Out there, they want to ban all that and just continue to promote, you know, basically whites only agenda, which is strange because for a country that promotes so much on diversity, this shouldn't happen in any school system in America.
More importantly, I think they're writing it off as irrelevant. You know, so yeah.
Well, what we have here is on January 5th, you know, let's make sure we get the right thing that this was coming from. This is via Rolling Stone magazine. It says here that Arizona State Superintendent of Public Education, John, you know, Huffenthal, spent the last day of work targeting the Tucson Unified School District for violating the state's ban on ethnic studies. And according to, why would you wait to the last day to do that? Sounds kind of cowardly. According to the Arizona Daily Star, in particular, the notice of noncompliance he sent to the district superintendent, Dr. H.T. Sanchez, on January 2nd, highlighted the 2 music-related violations, the use of Rage Against the Machine, Take the Power Back, in Mexican-American history, and introducing an introduction of hip-hop written by KRS-One in an English class that taught from an African-American perspective. Okay, so it says that Huffenthal's notice cited lyrics taken from Take the Power Back with asterisks covering profanity that linked the rap trailblazer's essay in which he defines hip-hop as artistic response to oppression. Both instances were referenced to classes taught at Tucson's Chola High Magnet School. That the notice also noted that the handout that asked why American slavery was the most brutal in history, and the requirement for students to recite Mayan Aztec teachings daily, the class replaced the Mexican American studies classes that was deemed to violate the law. In other words, they wanted to tell it from the perspective that they want it told from, and not what is actual, like they do everything else in this country. So the school chiefs threatened to cut state funding for District 10 if it did not comply with the law. So now we're practicing blackmail.
But 10%. Like there isn't enough money that's being cut from schools and stuff like that. Like, and well, one of the things that got me, and And it was saying in here that with the programs in play for the students, you know, there was a plus percentage that were able to complete the program and graduate, you know, as opposed to, you know, at least them not being in the red. You know, it's, I don't know. I guess maybe it was a little racy for them, but, you know, one thing that is going to have to come into play, especially with our education, is realizing that it's not all flowers, roses, and care bears when it comes to the different cultures in this country, because this country was built off of crushing other cultures, you know, and using other cultures and demeaning other cultures. So that has to be studied. You know, the only way not to make the same mistake through history is to learn from your mistakes, or to learn your history and to know it, so you don't have to repeat it. There you go.
Well,
something like that.
Well, I agree with you 110%. Not only in principle, but in presentation, because the take that I get from it is the take that I've often had, and I usually take right about now, and I'm trying to get off the ranting section of doing things on the show. But when I sit up here and I hear someone else tell a person who is Hispanic American how to better teach a Hispanic American when they're not Hispanic American, or to better teach the African American experience and you're not African American, that to me speaks to something far greater than what's going on with whatever this situation is. And then to have a lively shot at basically blackmailing the district out of funding, which when you're talking about doing this in a form in which children are depending on the funding, and as Rawhide so eloquently put it, it's one of these type of deals where in doing this, you know that the children already are depleted so far as for funding for their schools, for programs that affect them and everything else. And so many endowments, as we mentioned earlier, are given to these larger schools, are given to these larger apparatuses, are given to these, you know, these other frameworks that I find it actually, so, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, I find it reprehensible that you would have people to sit up and try to actively, you know, push this along the way that they're doing it, knowing that everyone doesn't see things as the same. We're not all clones. I mean, you expect us to sit up here, listen to, adhere to, and praise the first 15 presidents of the United States, George Washington included, as fathers of our country, yet they own slaves. How can you sit up here and have a situation where you have people that own slaves to be called fathers of the country, and we revere these people with their birthdays for President's Day and everything else, and basically here again you have white folks that are sponsoring this stuff. And, you know, hats off to you for educating us on from your perspective, but every now and then I would like to see, and I think it's very healthy to have, programs where people who are of the culture speak for their culture in education.
And man, let me tell you something. One of the worst words I loathe right now is the word perspective. Because with everybody talking about their perspective, it's allowing them to alter or obscure the reality of the situation. You know what I mean? And sure, you can say, you know, there's always three sides of the story. Well, that's exactly what it is. And there's three sides to a story. There's my side, your side, and then there's the truth. And all we ever bicker and fight over as far as trying to get over any type of relations or common ground of, community with having the history and the divide that has gone on for generations. We got to get off our perspective and finally focus on the reality, you know, because we can talk about our perspectives until we're blue in the face, but until, you know, we start looking at the proof that's in that pudding, until we start looking at exactly what we saw in that videotape, it's not a perspective thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree 110%. I couldn't have put it any better than that. I think I'll let it end on that footnote because, like I said, I just can't put it any better than that. You know what I'm saying? But you know, hopefully, as things we continue to grow, and I think I mentioned it to you last night, the people that voted Barack Obama in office, not once but twice, are not the generation of the people that think this way. It's my son's generation. It's people, you know, between our generation and his, and it's one of these type of things where, unless you have, like I said, I didn't want to run too far onto it. Like I said, I'll just end it briefly by saying, unless you start to give an understanding of someone else's sitting in that chair, whether it's Hispanic Americans teaching Hispanic Americans, African Americans teaching African Americans. Oh, yes, even, which has always been, white Americans teaching white Americans, no one can tell the other, in truth and reality, how to be who they are but them. Like Steve Arrington once said, you know, nobody can be you like you. And the sooner we realize that, the better off we'll be. And as we get ready to kind of close in on the tail end of the show today, I have one more special extra for you folks out there. Unless something else comes up, of course, because we always have plenty of extras. Seems that Felisa Rashad has finally spoken on the Bill Cosby deal. And, of course, social media and, you know, the news media is out there. I'm sure Fox and some of the rest of these, you know what I'm saying, honest, you know, reporting apparatuses out there will probably disagree with her. Felisa came out yesterday with a statement, and she said, that Bill Cosby's TV wife broke her silence and defended the comedian against sexual abuse allegations. And here again, I say good for her. It says here that during a Tuesday interview with Showbiz 411, Rashad attacks on Cosby were orchestrated. And the public should ignore these allegations, which is in excess of 20 at this point. Rashad, who played the role of Claire Huxtable on the show, right, was highly critical of women who have come forward. She said, forget these women, Rashad told the entertainment website. What you are seeing is the destruction of a legacy. And I think it's orchestrated. Someone is determined to keep Bill Cosby off TV, and it has worked. Rashad is not the first cast member of the Cosby Show to make headlines. Keisha Knight Pulliam, right, made news because she refused to call Cosby to beg for money for The Apprentice Show. And that's as far as I'm going on that because that's actually irrelevant to the story about Felisa Rashad. And the bottom line is that the Apprentice episode was a pre-taping, so it's disingenuous to somehow link those two together when they don't go together. So I'm going to stop on that. But the bottom line is, you know, Felisa Rashad, who I've always respected and still respect to this day, I think she's right, and she keeps right within alignment of what my co-host, Rawhide, said some 2 weeks ago before this article broke. And that's that they saw Cosby getting ready to come back on TV, you know, with the show, through Netflix, different apparatuses that he had, and they knew he was getting ready to come back on TV. And the last time he was on TV, he so dominated the scenery on what was going on that, like anything else, they sit and they use, you know, excuses to stain someone and to drop bombs, you know, on this man. They catch him at almost 80 years old, where he's not strong enough to defend himself. Then when someone comes and defends himself, then there's a problem with that too. And I just find it striking and curious that the missing X factor, and not X, they always have an X factor, which is the unknown factor of something that's going on. For me, the X factor in all this is that with all these people that have come up, you ask them a common question, at least 18 out of 20 of them. Did you ever tell anybody else that any of this happened? Because if it's that long ago, somebody somewhere is going to come up and say something, especially when you're dealing with the enormity of the person that Cosby is. And that X factor is missing in all this stuff. And it takes the courage of a few people out there that won't bend and fold and flip under, right, the way Ms. Richard has done. Again, hats off to her to bring some truth in. And actually, she's bashed by the media because they're not saying what they want her to say. But I just, Rawhide, I just think that that's crazy and funny.
Well, like I told you, man, if anybody would have got it, it would have been Claire Huxtable for real. Like,
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, when she steps forward and she's like, you know, I don't know what really happened, but hey, if I could put my two cents in, I really believe it's media driven, and you can kind of tell because all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying, these over a dozen women hop out of nowhere all at once when he's about to come back on TV.
Well, I tell you, things that happen and things that go down, and we don't know why they happen. All we know is that they do. And, you know, I have an affinity for marsupials that's not very favorable, and I do smell a rat. So it's not a good one. So as we wind down, we're going to drop one more song on you before we get out of here. This one's by Glenn Lewis, and we want you to remember that whenever it comes down to your media needs or whatever it is out there, whether it's recording apparatus or mastering, you got Rawhide Pro, you got your boy Flossy G holding you down with those instrumentals,
yeah,
you can always come home. So let's drop Glenn Lewis on you real quick and make sure that you don't forget that you can always come home. 646-595-3402.
When you used to know many dreams since then, you've had them come and gone. The time I show, but stress, don't you let it, don't you forget it. Trust you'll find your way to love. Hope is what your heart is made of. And don't you forget it, don't you forget your way home. And that little girl, hold on to your world. From first when life was dark, understanding what it means to have God. Nothing but your heavy, broken heart. Memories of what used to be. With change comes responsibility. Don't forget where you are, ain't where you've been. Life's lessons then made you into one man. And don't you forget it, don't you forget your way home. Well, that little girl, hold on to your world. And don't you forget it, Don't you forget your way home. For that little girl, hold on to your world.
Hold on to your pride.